Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Did you ever get your Lynn Bowden shirt, by the way?
I still haven't got that thing.
Yeah, well.
Dude.
He's scammed you.
It's been a month.
I hate to tell you.
I ordered a Lynn Bowden shirt for Kellen a month ago.
And James Strebel.
You gave him $30 of your ordered money.
I gave him $32 for this shirt.
Oh, my God.
$32.
$32.
And I haven't received it yet. I haven't even got an email. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just stuck out here.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Tonight, 93.9, we'll have some NBA playoff Clippers, Mavericks. The Mavs can close that out. I got the Clippers winning that, though, and taking it to Game 7. Who knows what happens then. 8:30, you can catch that tonight over on 93.9 The Ville. That's all presented by Bear Nose Pizza, UPS Jobs, and U of L Health. Speaking of Bear Nose Pizza, I had a little Bear Nose today.
Delicious. I love Bear
at
Nose.
At the station, they brought some in. Thank you to George and company. Reminder, tonight, this weekend, next week, whenever it may be, Bear Nose, they got you covered. They're delivering, obviously, delivering alcohol. Support local. It's Bear Nose Pizza. So there you go. I had to tell an intern today. This poor intern.
Oh, no.
He had the big meat pizza, Mitch.
Oh, that's the best one.
And, I mean, he just spilled sausage all over the floor.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
In front of Diener?
No.
Diener
not,
wasn't
not
there.
Not in front of Diener, no.
Okay, I just don't. Diener is very protective of that new carpet.
I mean,
I know how much trouble Grossman got in.
He should have been.
He was in big trouble.
He
I remember
was in
that.
Big trouble.
Steve Rummage tried to cover his tracks for him, and he still got in big trouble for that.
There you go. Texas says, can we get a kettlebell update from Strebel?
Oh.
Yeah, I can give you one. They're right here.
They're right here.
They're at my house. They're right there. They're right there.
Thanks for reminding me, Texter.
There you go. You need to lift them again.
Oh, they're a little dusty, aren't they? I haven't touched them in months.
Yeah. They have collected a nice bit of dirt.
Yeah.
Texas says, fraud-gy. Texas says, what does Strebel think of Hillary's emails?
I mean, I'm not getting into this.
Okay, we already did.
Well, the Fauci part, I'm not getting into Hillary's emails. How old is that? How musty is that? That's a musty-ass take.
It is. That's like a six-year-old
it's
take now at this point.
I mean, come on.
Maybe five and a half.
Hillary's emails, what do you think about that?
Mitch, let's do this. Let's do caller three. Is that okay? Caller three. I probably need, I don't know, a name, number, and email, if you don't mind. two passes to the Purgatory Golf Club Capital Golf Charity Amateur Tour, okay?
All right.
CapitalGolf.net. You can learn more. Capital Golf, that's with an A at the end. CapitalGolf.net. One of these passes is $70. This is a great value. Tee time is 11 a.m. on June 6th, which is going to be on Sunday in Noblesville, Indiana. So I think I think it's supposed to be good weather out.
It is.
So give Mitch a call, 267-9680.
So we're taking the third caller.
Yes.
Okay. And they're getting both passes or just one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. One winner, two passes.
Boom.
So they can take a buddy. So that's a good thing. The Capital Golf Charity Amateur Tour is coming through, and so there you go. How about that?
Little prize we'll be giving on a that away. Friday.
267-9680. You're damn right a little
prize on a Friday. I like that. Giving back
we
to
need
the folks.
We need to come up with a way to give away some prizes, but I haven't figured out a good way to do that. I thought about buying shirts, but I didn't want to bring it out of my own money, to be quite honest.
No, I understand
even
that.
Though I thought about it.
Well, the T-shirts aren't very expensive. Maybe we can compile a list of slogans that we've been saying over the last few days, week and a half or so, and then we can get some shirts.
Yeah, we have to write those down, otherwise we're going to forget.
We're going to forget completely, because we get like two or three a day at least.
Texas says, does the new intern have a nickname? Mitch, do you know the intern's name? He's on the phone.
He's probably on the phone.
He's on the phone. Sorry, I didn't think about that.
Prizes.
I'm sorry, Mitch.
He's giving away prizes. Mitch is like Bob Barker.
Oh, that was gonna put him on the spot because I don't think he does. I don't think he knows the name.
Well, when Mitch was an intern, I mean, how many people knew his name?
Well, I knew Mitch's name.
I know you did, but you kind of have to. You're kind of the boss, so.
I'd have no idea. I really don't. Let me run this by you. 437-9680. I'm going to run this by you.
Okay.
So the SEC is allowing transfers within the conference, and that's not crazy. You knew that was going to be the case.
They had to do it.
But they did set some parameters, okay?
Yep.
So to be immediately eligible, fall sport athletes must declare their intent by February 1st.
Okay, so that's okay. Like football, so football, and volleyball.
So if you're going to transfer football,
yep.
And you want to play in September, you know, earlier that year by February 1st, it's not right after the season. I mean, Louisville's done when?
Late December.
If you go to a bowl game, you're in December, maybe the new year, but it's late December-ish. Now, Louisville wasn't, you know, I use UofL as an example. They were before because they didn't go to a bowl game.
Right.
But you understand, around the first of the year.
Right.
So I would imagine that would be in your mind and heart anyway that you would want to leave.
After the season,
but you got about a month, month and a half to figure it out.
Right?
Okay?
After the national championship, the playoff, and all that.
Yeah, but
all
I mean,
finished.
No one's making the championship game except for Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, and I don't know
and
who
Clemson.
Else. And Clemson,
That's about four teams.
So the normal team ends on December 23rd or whatever in the Music City Bowl.
Right.
And you have a month and change to make a decision. If, by the way, the season's been over for a number of weeks, a lot of times we kind of see that maturation from the end of the year to bowl game to who is involved. And who isn't usually can be a signal and whatever else. So you have that's on fall. For winter sports like basketball,
right?
The deadline is May 1st.
Okay, so
essentially the Derby.
Yeah, either
maybe Derby weekend.
Yeah, that's Ellen White's birthday.
Oh, great. So for winter sports, the deadline's May 1st. And you know, let's see here. Yeah. And those are the main ones, that we need to know. My question is, this hasn't been talked about very much at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind of I don't know what the reaction, I don't know what the right reaction is. And here's what I mean by that. There's part of me that says, why can't you let him transfer and just let him transfer?
Right.
That there's always got to be strings attached to everything, and there doesn't need to be strings attached to everything. The other part of me does say that committing to something, even though coaches can leave, that to put some sort of a time frame on it, A, isn't a big deal, and B, probably is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay? So I would imagine this is a compromise. Mm-hmm. Did there need to be a compromise? And I don't know. And I don't know the reaction. If there were a bunch of parameters put on the one-time transfer.
Right.
I feel like I had already made my mind, you know, to not like that.
Yeah, okay.
This is a parameter. I don't know how I feel, though, because I don't feel like being hot takey against the SEC. I don't. I'm still bending the knee to a certain extent to the programs and to the coaches and not the unpaid kid. Aidan Gahan left March 15th. He would have been fine. Armon Franklin, March 23rd, left Indiana. He would have been fine. Devin Askew, April 5th. He would have been fine. Quinn Slezinski would not have been fine.
Right, because it was just a few.
No,
last week before.
Yeah, now this is within. This is within the SEC.
Right.
So it's not. The reason it's not that big of a deal is because it's SEC to SEC.
Right,
because
Quinn Slezinski went ACC to Iona.
If this were. If Justin Powell were to leave and he went to NC State. This rule would not apply.
Right.
That's why I think no one's being hot takey.
Sure.
What I think happened here is powerful football coaches says, we understand we have to give in here. Mm-hmm. We understand if you're Nick Saban or John Calipari or who's the dope at I mean, why can't I think of the guy? Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart in Georgia.
If you're Dinkiewicz.
Jimbo Fisher.
Yes. I mean, we know that we're giving in here.
Yeah.
But while we're giving in, at least make a parameter that if I'm Nick Saban or whatever it is, I have February, March, April, May, June, July, right? There's a longer time to figure out where you're going to go. So I saw that story come down, and I thought of, at first I thought, of course, it would be the SEC that would put some sort of parameter on it, but I don't have a real hot take here, and I feel like right now it's only one conference, and even if it was in the ACC or the Big Ten and it was affecting the teams locally here, I feel like a little bit of compromise isn't a bad thing. But while I'm saying that, I feel like I'm turning my back on what I've always yelled and screamed about, and that is give the power to these kids a little bit. It happened, but there's always got to be strings attached.
Oh, this is totally a way to pacify the coaches. That's all this is. And of course, it's the SEC that does it first, because when you talk about the SEC, who really runs the SEC? The football coaches, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that run the SEC. Okay. I don't care.
No, this is Georgia.
This is Alabama.
Absolutely.
This is who this is about.
I think it's all of them. I think it's – I think – I mean, let me back up. If you are lesser than in the SEC, you know, maybe you could lure someone away in the summer. That you knew?
Right.
I mean, I'll give you a great example. Maybe that could be – I mean, Lovie Jenkins leaves U of L.
Right. Okay.
Okay, let's
Which
say
– yesterday, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to sit out a year if he were a part of this rule.
Because it was after
I'm surprised his other conferences didn't do this.
I am too, but I –
surprised the ACC didn't do
I'm
this.
Not shocked that it's the SEC that's the first conference to do this. Now, I mean, honestly, this is more for programs, in my opinion, like Kentucky – And like Texas A&M and like Missouri than it is for Alabama, Georgia, Florida, like the big dogs in the conference. Because I don't think Nick Saban's worried about his guys transferring to other schools. Like, I feel like Nick Saban's pretty damn confident.
But now,
like Nick Saban looking at a guy like Jamin Davis, or just an example, a guy like Jamin Davis, or a guy
Allen. He stole Tennessee's guy.
Right. I think it's more for those schools than it is for the big dogs, because they're worried, like, Nick Saban, you'd be like, oh, right, okay. So now, if there's a Josh Allen on the team, and I think this is a pretty damn good football player, I can just walk in and say, hey, Josh Allen, come play for Alabama and a national title. It's more like Nick Saban ain't worried about his guys leaving. He's like, okay, if you leave, fine. I got three other ones that I can just throw in there anytime I wanted to, so go ahead and leave. I think it's more for protection for guys like Mark Stoops than it is for guys like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. That's just kind of how I read it. I'm like, you know, like, yeah, Saban ain't worried about this. Saban,
what is Saban worried about?
I don't know. Stuff that I'm not worried about, for sure, because he lives a different life than I live. So
Texas says, is Jimbo Fisher a fisher of men?
He's a fisher of young men.
You made that.
I know. You're
There's no reason to make that odd.
It's not odd. It's a young men first football program. That's what I'm talking about.
You knew you messed up right when you said it.
By the way, we have a winner. I don't know if we need to announce it or what. Yeah.
What the hell is with you guys? Like, hey, caller number three, call in. So, of course, like, all these people are going to call in. And then 10 seconds later, hey, Mitch, what are your thoughts on this?
We moved on. We forgot, because it's the cadence of the show. Yeah, settle down.
Yeah, we apologize. We said, sorry, he's on the phone.
Yeah.
We moved on.
You didn't apologize to us yesterday or today.
No, you hear Crane laughing hysterically in the background.
Be that funny.
No,
like nothing.
It's Mark and Mark.
Funny.
No.
Oh, he's filling in for Ennis and Blank.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he passed some of his bro dude trip.
Yeah.
Got a little update on that.
Oh yeah.
Night.
Do we have that sound actually? By the way, it was on Snapchat, yeah, wasn't it? Him and the boys.
Yeah, I didn't dub it. I'm sorry.
Why didn't you dub it?
Because it's Snapchat. It's his own like personal story. Like, I don't know. I'm just touchy on those things.
All right. What else are you touchy on? I see Rummage was talking about Reed Sheppard today.
He was.
You know what? I have no interest in Reed Sheppard.
He apparently loved his visit to Louisville.
Yesterday or today. It's the biggest school that's offered him.
Yeah. Thank you. I was listening to a little bit of that today.
Of course.
He's like, they have an obligation to take him from Kentucky. He's like, Kentucky ain't interested right now, dude.
Well, no.
They're not. They're not. So, Go ahead. Thank
well,
you.
Give me rummage then. Give me some rummage on Reed Shepherd. Let's dive into that.
Sorry. Then I separate a little bit because I put Reed Shepherd in another category from North Laurel. Okay. Now, obviously, you know why I'm doing
he's
that.
He's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's a real stud.
He's a stud. But Reed Shepherd and his dad didn't just have a good time yesterday. They fell in love with it. And I think that there's something to that one. And there's something to getting him. And I think, and this is why I'm separating into two categories. Because I think there's something to what it would mean for Louisville to kind of take back going and getting a guy. And I'm not talking, and look, JJ was out in the state. I agree with that. But JJ was a, I think we had a good end with JJ, you know, in different ones. Yeah, his dad played at UK. Man, that makes me feel old. Somebody was like, didn't Jeff, his dad play at UK? I'm like, yeah, Jeff Shepherd.
Yeah, that's why I'm having this conversation. Hello.
No, but that's not, I get it though, Texter. Like, he's like, but yeah, but here's the thing. That would be a to me, that is a, am I allowed to say ballsy? Because I just did.
Well, you did.
Okay. That would be, yeah, I think so. We'll roll with it. But that's kind of a move.
I mean, again, Kentucky.
Wait, but I want to go back to the, Brian Hall won the sound at the beginning.
Which part?
With he's a stud.
Oh, that, yeah. He's a stud.
He's a stud.
Yeah. It's not, you look at his offer sheet, he's not really a stud.
Mitch, do you want Reed Shepherd?
Yes.
Okay, so you're all in.
Yes.
Y'all can have.
Yeah, but you're not stealing him.
You're not stealing
my
him
argument
Kentucky.
Would be you're not stealing him from Kentucky unless Kentucky offers. And he did the thing of, I'm not going to bring it up. You know, man, what? I'm going to leave that alone.
It's not like when Calipari took Marcus Teague from Patino. This is different. Like, that was Patino hired like his coach on the staff. And he was like a known commodity going to Louisville, and Cal swooped in. This ain't it. This ain't the same thing. I think Cal's like looked at him and has, you know, talked to him, but there's not an offer yet. If I were to bet, I would bet there's not an offer for Reed Shepherd. That's not the kind of guy Kentucky's going after. He's just not.
When you say the kind of guy, what does that mean?
That means that Orlando Teague and Tim Coleman are in, and things are different now.
Okay.
And that Reed Shepherd's not a part of that.
Reed Shepherd's going to end up about where we think in the recruiting rankings. He's only a sophomore, right?
He's a sophomore. So he's got
two.
Junior
so
year.
He's got two.
He's a four
years.
Star right now, right?
Right, but where is he on the on the composite?
Or 20? Yeah, 247 composite. That I don't know. I don't think. I mean, I just this started back in February, January, whenever.
You know what this is? This is the difference between the Kentucky fan out in the sticks and the Kentucky fan around Jefferson County, Southern Indiana. That's how I read this, because I don't know one Kentucky fan that cares. But I feel like if you go out, if Mitch goes back to Callaway County, that it would be a different discussion. I'm using Callaway County as the example.
Right.
Right. I mean, right now his offer sheet is, you know, South Alabama,
Iowa,
you know,
Iona.
High Point, Iona, Iowa,
Stetson.
You know, he's a composite three-star right now. He still doesn't have a U of L offer, right?
No.
He
just did an unofficial visit yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like Louisville fans, I don't know, if Kentucky wanted him and you got him from Kentucky, that would mean something, but I don't think, like, I feel like Strebel actually on this one that, I mean, if you told me right now, I mean, composite doesn't have him ranked. That can't be true.
There's no.
I mean, he's 2023. 247 has him as the 65th best prospect.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that would be a little bit more in Louisville's wheelhouse than it would Kentucky. No, Cal's going to play hard to get him. If the kid's good enough in 2 years, Cal knows he can fly in at the end, and everyone's got the Kentucky lore and everything.
Sure.
I'm not shocked he's not just offering him. I think it's almost, to us, a dead conversation. I feel like we've had very little discussion about it on this show because you don't care, and the majority of Kentucky fans in this area don't care. But out in the holler, they do care.
They do care. Yeah, they do care around the state. Like out
Dante
the state.
Allen is 99th.
There you go.
Okay, so again, it depends on the need and if Cal's interested at all. I mean,
right now he would have to make a substantial jump. Move up because the places that have offered him, I mean, Stetson, South Alabama, High Point. I mean, that's what we're looking at right now.
Right, absolutely. And it, for me, it's like when Rummage is getting all excited about it, I'm like, man, that's fine. If you think that getting Reed Sheppard to Louisville is like sticking it to Kentucky, if there's not an offer, then
well, how
live
are you
in that world.
Yeah, but I think he does. How are you going to play this?
I think I'm going to play it.
You don't care about this
kid
at all.
I really don't, unless he's better than him. I mean, look, he put up great numbers against high school competition.
Yeah, we don't care. He's in London,
exactly.
Kentucky.
Exactly.
You ever been to London, Kentucky?
No, I have not.
I have.
And I'm sure it's...
I have. I knew a guy there. He was a heavy metal guy.
Oh, really? In London, like, Kentucky?
London, Kentucky.
Okay.
And he would what do you call it when you knife someone's tires?
Slash your tires?
He would slash tires.
He slashed just to do it?
Yes.
Oh. He just got bored and went
that's
out.
That's all I know about London,
okay,
Kentucky.
Okay, so that's for Reed
that's
Shippers
it. That's all I know.
But, yeah, I'm with you. I was like, it doesn't move the needle for me at all.
At
but,
all.
But for some,
that's why we haven't talked about
for
it.
For some Kentucky fans, it's like if he doesn't get an offer from John Calipari, Kentucky, John Calipari needs to be fired. I mean, there are Kentucky fans out there that feel that way. I'm at the exact opposite end of it. He ain't good enough. He ain't good enough. Cal doesn't owe anybody anything.
Texas says, Strebel's the worst UK fan. He thinks the state ends at Jefferson County line, can't have players elsewhere.
No, that's not what I'm saying
at all. It has to do with Reed Sheppard not being good enough to wear a Kentucky uniform.
Right. I mean, Derek Willis was good
enough.
And
why would he want to do that? He should go somewhere to where he can play.
Right. I mean, the book's still out on Dante Allen. He had multiple opportunities last year. He flubbed some of the opportunities. He shined in two of the opportunities. This is a big year for Dante Allen. I'm still not sure if he's good enough to play at Kentucky. I thought playing at Kentucky was, like, different. Isn't it they're built different? I mean, it's not built by in-state talent. It's built different. It's not built by legacy players. It's built different.
Well, it used to be.
It used to be. Well, it is now again.
We have Matt Norlander coming up next, actually at 4:40 in about 20 minutes. So let's take a short break, Mitch. We'll do that. Matt Norlander coming up in about 20 minutes.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Someone told me, maybe his processor, Jack, someone said that he follows Jared Stillman's girlfriend on Instagram. He's like the only one that did before all this happened with Stillman and his Puerto Rican lady.
And James Strebel.
Well, she's not Puerto Rican.
No, but his lady in Puerto Rico. That's, maybe I should have said it that way. His lady in Puerto Rico.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
In this band used to be a professor at U of L. How about that?
Really?
Bet you didn't know that.
I did not.
Now
know
I'm
that.
Telling you things you don't know.
That's awesome.
How about
very
that?
Cool. Yeah.
Hey, miss any of your favorite show at ESPNLouisville.com? Check out the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, and review. You talk for a second. I got to take a drink. I got a frog in my throat.
Okay. Speaking of frogs in the throat,
Lamontard's
got some guy on here with some toads. And he's showing them off to everybody.
That's
on the
Ron
20-
McGill.
Ron McGill. Ron
McGill.
I mean, McGill,
come on. You don't
toads.
Know who that is?
I don't. No. Now
God bless you.
Now you're telling me other things I don't know.
You don't know anything.
I know some stuff.
Do you know who Juju Gotti is?
I do not.
You don't know who Juju Gotti is?
I do not.
No. All right.
I don't know Ron McGill or Juju
You don't
Gotti.
Know anything.
I don't.
You follow. You know who Jim Rome is?
I know who Jim Rome is. Yeah, early 90s, I think. Like when he burst on the scene as a sports talk host, he had the Rome is Burning show on ESPN. I remember all that. Yes.
Okay.
He's been in a few films as well.
Mitch has texted us. I'm going to be away for a minute. He's going to call the winner. Mitch, could you give us the Mad Dog sound before you call the guy?
Oh, more
or are you already gone? Either way, it's fine.
The him getting mad at a caller?
Yeah, just because. We like Mad Dog. He got mad at a caller and he yelled at a caller, and we might as well play that. It's a Friday. Go ahead.
Yeah. But that is not purity. That is disgraceful to think, because the call on the court.
It was a bad call, but it didn't make any difference, Morty. You won the game. What are you screaming about? It's a foul. You inbounded the ball anyway. Who cares? And a foul made no difference. You had a foul to give.
Okay.
And it was a bad job by the broadcasting crew, because Spiro Dinas and Greg didn't tell us, Anthony, didn't tell us that they had a foul to give. They went over the damn foul for 30 minutes before they said, oh, by the way, Denver's got a foul to give. Well, if that's the case, who cares about the foul call? Inbound the ball. Jeez. Yeah, don't make a big deal about that. They didn't lose that game. They had the ball to inbounds anyway. They had a foul to give, Marty. Jeez, thank you for the call. There was a foul to give. Now, I don't like the call, I'll grant you. It wasn't a foul, but they called it that because the official assumed wrongly that Denver, because they were up three, were going to foul before Portland got at the shooting motion, which is kind of what happened. And then they inbounded it again.
All right,
now,
that's good,
again,
Mitch. There we go.
I like that.
There's Mad Dog.
Mad
there you
Dog
go.
Russo.
He's
I love the old Mad Dog. Yeah, actually, he's always mad. I like that about him.
So 437-9680. Okay, so today, Dino Gaudio was in court.
He was.
And it washed over me the photos of him being in a suit with his lawyer. Great humor. Like, I have been battling whether it's more sad or it's more just downright funny.
Right.
And now I'm to the point to where it's downright funny. And I'll tell you another reason why. So the plea deal is going to be probation. And I would imagine his probation is basically like, don't extort anyone else. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Does he have to pee in a cup? Like, does he have to get drunk? Like, I'm asking. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what.
Like,
I don't know what's. Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, I mean,
Mitch, that's who I want.
Officer.
I want the probation officer, Dino Gaudio.
Yes. Can we get him on the show?
Do you understand? That's the only guy I want. I will be eternally angry if Ennis gets him. That's the only one. They can have Adam Rindberg.
Right.
That's
Take
the
him.
Only guy I want. Is the parole officer yeah. of Dino Gaudio.
Yes.
And Pointer, help me here. So that happened today.
Yep.
And I guess he was arraigned. Is that right? And he's sentenced is going to be,
August 27th.
Okay, is that what it was?
Yeah,
in a couple months.
Yeah.
And so that's going to decide how much of the fine, how long the probation.
Right.
And so it's going to be probation and a low-end fine.
That was.
And I don't know what a low-end fine means. If that's $5,000 or if that's
$10,000,
you know, $10,000 or $50,000, I don't know.
Right.
I would imagine low-end for obviously Dino Gaudio is much different than me.
Right.
But I kind of feel like they're talking about just normal people.
Right.
A low-end fine. But I don't know. And so, like, I know you have a different take on this, I think.
I do.
But mine is, no matter what happened here behind the scenes, no matter if you think Chris Mack overreacted and UofL overreacted. By the way, I don't believe that. They are the victims here, and I don't know what happened. So I'm just telling you. Or if you think the Dino's just the worst guy ever, and for him to get punished, and you're a Louisville fan, you're like, absolutely punish this guy, whatever it may be. However you come at this story, the thing that you cannot avoid is the fact that it accomplished nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It created... I would imagine within U of L, and I'll even say Chris Mack has been living in this arena for the last couple months of obviously dealing with this personally. And he may not give a damn. He may not care. Again, I'm giving you a bunch of I don't knows. I'm trying not to take some big side here where I'm team U of L and Mack or team Dino. If I had to pick one, it'd be U of L and Mack on this one. But I'm just trying to to lay this out there, that it accomplished nothing. In the end, you know, if he's able to go on and live his life, probation, a small fine, he's not going to be beat over the head with, you know, going to jail or some massive several hundred thousand dollar fine or whatever. I mean, you know, he might be giving up TV. I don't know if he could have just walked back to ESPN. I mean, ESPN doesn't follow college basketball. They get enough guys. Right. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he could have walked back into ESPN and still make, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars.
I don't know, but I'll fight back on that. ESPN, like, fires people every day. So I don't know if, like, I hear that a lot. Like, just go get a job at ESPN. I'm just like, I don't know if, like, that is as easy as you think it could be.
I agree with you, Mitch. I agree with you. The fact that he was just going to go walk on to TV and make $350,000, $400,000, I don't know. That may have been the case. But you had, what was I going to say? It accomplished nothing. And now that Dino is moving on and U of L is moving on, the narrative that was out there that, you know, I guess both sides didn't want this to become quote unquote a thing, that seems to be rather true. That, you know, there's a compromise. What do you call it? Not a compromise. The plea deal.
Oh, plea deal. Yeah, the plea bargain
that they put out. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about Louisville being the victim, and they're the loser here.
100% the loser.
I mean, Louisville's a loser here. And we already knew that. That's not revolutionary. But in the end, it just created a bunch of bad PR for U of L. And that's it. And that's the story. Yeah. I mean, because no one gives a damn about Dino Gaudio.
No.
Dino Gaudio can go be on ESPN. And then, but he can go be on ESPNU for some game you're not watching on a Wednesday night, and you're not gonna care. You can replace him with somebody else, and it moves on, and everyone's fine. And there's, like, no story here.
Right.
Except for U of L. It had those 2-3 days of bad press, and everyone got mad at Pat Forty.
Yeah, that and something that his lawyer said today, and you know, maybe more comes out, maybe Louisville issues a statement after the sentencing and more information, you know, is given. I think at the sentencing there will be more, you know, more information coming out about this. But one of the things that Gaudio's lawyer says, like a 7-minute incident that he wasn't able to walk back. And he said that in court.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I believe that.
I'm with you. But
that's his side of the story. He's trying to make Louisville and Chris Mack look bad.
Right, but until they dispute that, that's what we have to go by, right? That's all the information we have.
I don't think you're going to get much more information. I think there's a plea deal, and I think you're not going to hear about it. And I think everything you hear about that is going to be hearsay, and somebody tries to know something, yada yada.
But with you're talking about the PR hit, the you know, added drama. I mean, I just felt and the way that Dino Gaudio pled guilty so quickly, didn't try to fight it, took the blame immediately. I feel like this was unneeded, and I feel like that this was avoidable. I feel like 100% this was avoidable.
That might be the case.
But I think
it was avoidable. Dino didn't have to do it.
No, he didn't have to do it. No, on all part. No, I'm with you. Dino didn't have to do it. Dino didn't have to do what he did, say what he said, all those things. You're right. But at the same time, did Louisville overreact? And did their overreaction cause more harm than good? Because it looks like it's caused more harm than good. You were a laughingstock for 48 hours. You caused more drama. There's more NCAA violations, and they self-reported those. I mean, they're probably not going to be much of a thing, but you added to that list.
It made us talk about it. We had to.
People laughed about it.
Right.
And Patino, you know, kind of probably was laughing at all these things happen. It's like, man, I felt like it didn't happen.
Well,
this far.
I don't believe the lawyer that it's also 7 minutes because it lingered to another day. That's
but again,
not 7 minutes.
But again, when he's the only person talking, that's what you had to go by. When people read that at WDRB,
but the story's done now. My argument would be U of L talking and going back and forth elongates a story that now is dead.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done, but I mean, but August 27th, it ain't going to be done on August 27th. We're going to talk about it again.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, if it comes out, hey, he's going to be on probation for a year, 2 years, 6 months. I have no idea where to go. And he has a $5,000 fine. We'll sit back and say, okay, so the guy's going to have a probation officer. Don't extort anybody for 6 months and a $5,000 fine. And Louisville, their fine of bad PR was more hurtful, I would imagine, than what Dino went through, unless you thought Dino was going to go get another job, which I do not think was going to be the case. Matt Norlander, CBS, he joins us next.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I think John Calipari is going to go away in the Rupp Arena the day he retires.
Yeah.
Is going to play Lifehouse?
He likes that cheesy rock.
And James Strebel.
He doesn't.
He does too, I'm telling
where
you.
Where did you hear this? I can't believe Lifehouse.
I got to say where I heard it, right?
Oh, boy.
Ready?
I don't know who.
KSR. Years ago, I heard it on KSR.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey guys, CarMax is hiring experienced auto techs nationwide. Work on all the cars that you love. Make some money while you're doing it. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAuto.com. Should also remind you, a little Reds baseball coming your way tonight. Reds and Cardinals, 7:45. We'll have it right here on ESPN 680. Lou City on Sunday. The Belmont on Saturday. A little NBA in between. We are locked and loaded this weekend. Obviously, a ton of play-by-play going on. But let's talk some college basketball about his article that he posted yesterday. His name is Matt Norlander of CBS Sports, at Matt Norlander. You can follow him there. And ever since, Matt, I would imagine every time you write about Kentucky, a bunch of gas bags reach out to talk about your article. So we're one of them. So thank you very much for the time. How you doing?
Doing all right. My pleasure to be here. Happy Friday.
Yes, we have made it to a Friday. It's going to be nice weather. It was in the Louisville area, Matt. It was 45 degrees on Memorial Day weekend. It was the lowest it's been since the 1800s. That's what we had to deal with. So
we're ready for summer.
Well,
that's disgusting.
It was not. It actually wasn't that cold up here in Connecticut, but, you know, we can move on after this. But I did find it kind of ironic, universe playing a trick on us, that, you know, everyone was hoping Memorial Day would be this huge, you know, we're vaccinated, let's get together, let's celebrate. And up here in the Northeast, it was rain for like 2.5 days on Memorial Day weekend.
That's what he did with here.
Maybe 4th of July.
I used to live in Western New York, and it was the kind of weather that we used to have here. Matt Norlander with us, CBS Sports. All right, so I want to talk about your angle of, the benefit of Coach K leaving for John Calipari. And what's so funny about it is that was one of my main takeaways. So when I saw you wrote that, I said on the air, you know, now's the time with Bill Self, who's been, Bill Self. Kansas is going to have a good team this year, but obviously they're going through NCAA stuff. We'll see what happens with Arizona, with Coach K and Roy Williams leaving. Now's a real chance to get number 9 for Kentucky and John Calipari to get things back. Let me ask you this to get things going. You think Cal, could reap the benefits of this? Who would be next on that list, do you think?
Behind Cal, you've got a couple of candidates here. I'm trying to look at like coaches who would increase their presence in recruiting and move up significantly, or at least sustain like a top 5 kind of level. And coaches who would be able, and as a byproduct of that, remain at the place that they're at and kind of, you know, even further emphasize where they stand in the greater realm of the sport. One name that springs to mind, if he stays, he actually has the number one class for 2021, is Juwan Howard at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not an established voice. He's just a big name, and we'll see if he wants to become something of that. I'm not sure. But I think from a recruiting perspective, Michigan potentially stands to benefit. Michigan State on a year-by-year basis, it kind of jumps up. You know, Michigan State's not always in the it doesn't always have a top 10 class. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Recently took a huge hit when Imani Bates decommitted after committing, almost 2 years.
Oh, for a while.
And then ultimately, you know, I didn't explicitly make this point in the column, although it was also mentioned, the idea that Mike Krzyzewski has been the most prominent. I kind of resist saying the voice of college basketball because that just discards too many other really good voices. But clearly, Mike Krzyzewski was viewed as the guy at the head of the table. And now Calipari, in my opinion, is positioned to take that spot. And the other guy who would be right there with him, in my opinion, would be Jay Wright, who, of course, has more championships than Cal.
Do you think more people like Cal or like K? I can't, because around here everyone hates Coach K. I like Coach K. And Cal was really slimy and kind of shady. People thought, you know, the end of Memphis, and then at the very beginning, there are Kentucky fans that did not want Cal. And then at some point down the road here, Cal has become the elder statesman and has said some things that a lot of people are saying. And quite frankly, the one and done was a part of that. Some of the shots he's taken at the NCAA. What do you make of that?
Hard to quantify, but if you had me lean one way or the other, if you took kind of the general opinion of the millions and millions and millions of college fans, I would say more people like Kay ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Part of that would be the fact that he worked with USA Basketball, won 3 gold medals, and I think there, for some, there is a separation between hating Kay and hating Duke. For some, there is no separation, obviously. And he's been, you know, he's obviously been around longer. I could be wrong on that. Duke has basically been the most polarizing program since Leitner, you know, and that crew won in 91-92 there. One of the ultimate ironies about Duke is that it's one of these smaller universities from an undergrad standpoint, private, you know, but yet it is the most popular national college basketball program that's out there, you know, and Kentucky is number two, but that's a huge state school with even deeper history than, frankly, than Duke, which was good before K got there, and then it became obviously a top three program in the sport there. But yeah, that's how I would value it. I would say, though, that the opinion on Cal has certainly and rightfully
totally changed
in the past 5-6 years.
Absolutely.
And the one thing that I think is still driving him here is getting a second title, not just to double his own inventory, okay, obviously, but there's a big difference between winning one and two. I mean, you know, he's already in the Hall of Fame. He has basically almost nothing left to prove. I get that, but I think to himself, winning a second championship means a ton. And partly why I wrote the column was Krzyzewski is his biggest rival in, on the recruiting trail, and they have had tremendous battles in recruiting for a decade plus. And now with Kay leaving, it just seems obvious to me that Cal, if he is still going to be Cal and be the greatest recruiter ever, then Kentucky should be positioned to not just remain like, you know, ooh, Kentucky's getting top three classes. No, I'm saying that Cal, with this staff, in this era of name, image, and likeness, you know, Kentucky should be positioning itself to have the top-rated class and, at worst, number two, like, every single year for the next half decade as long as Cal is there.
Yeah, they've talked so much about name, image, and likeness, how it helps, you know, when you're going up against the G League, and Kentucky has battled the G League. There's no doubt about that. Matt Norlander, good stuff. Matt Norlander with us here. He's from CBS Sports, senior writer, college hoops analyst, has the stories up there, got the podcast, got the video. It's all there at CBS Sports. I want to get your thoughts on Kay, just, you know, general thoughts, obviously having you on, following him for a number of years and everything. But how do you think this Kentucky team, seemingly, it's on paper, how do you think they've positioned themselves with the new staff and pretty much a completely revamped roster other than a couple reserves?
Man, this is going to be a fascinating team. So, you know, we look at their two projections. How does Kentucky fit into the overall landscape of the sport next season, and then how does it fit within the SEC? Because the SEC is going to be a very good league. Alabama is going to set up as the best team, in my opinion, in the SEC. I think that's a fair evaluation heading in, given everyone that comes back. And then you get a little bit of, like, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, how are these teams going to kind of line up against each other? LSU is expected to take a step back, but Well, Wade is still the coach there. They tend to be a factor as well. I would think that Kentucky is going to be a top 25 team next season, and that will be a demand for the fan base after, obviously, the worst season of Cal's career and really one of the three or four worst seasons in the history of Kentucky basketball. But I don't think that this team necessarily is going to be of a top 10 group. I don't expect it to be the best in the SEC. And the column that I wrote was more about recruiting, Cal coming in and, you know, just dominating over that space. And that would be starting next year.
Next year, right.
Upcoming year is obviously Kay's farewell tour and all that, and Kentucky, and it has its roster. The things that I wrote about shouldn't be materializing until 22
right.
and 23. For next year specifically, I'd go Bama 1 for sure. That is just the objective. I think you have to place Alabama number 1 in the SEC going into the next season. And then I probably would go, I'm going to cut against the grain. I would go Tennessee 2. Give me Arkansas 3, Kentucky 4, and all four of those teams being top 25 level in the SEC.
All the Kentucky fans, they loved you, Matt Norlander. Cal's the face of college basketball, but now he's fourth in the SEC. Now they're angry. So BBN giveth and they taketh away. I'm kidding, of course. Matt Norlander with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Your thoughts on Kay, the timing, and now John Shire takes over, and then I want to get to the ACC, but what did you make of the last couple days watching the press conferences, all the murmurings over the last couple weeks, and then it finally happens, and Coach K emerges with the Every Time We Touch song, and then we do a press conference, and now he's going to, you know, have one more year of coaching before he rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, there's been a lot this week, and that entrance certainly got some viral sharing, no doubt about it. But if you've covered a game at Cameron, you understand that song that they played is, well, it certainly works much better midway through the second half of a 3-point game on a Wednesday
night. I don't hate the song. I don't hate the song. I'm not saying I like it, but it was corny. But I don't hate that song.
It was I don't know. The funny thing about that, by the way, is that, they had to do a dry run. Not with, like, Kay in the building or anything like that, but, you know, they have audio people, and, you know, everything had to be just right there, so they had to figure that all out. I'd be more interested to see how they did the dress rehearsal.
Well, there's, like, 19 SIDs. Yeah, there's 19 SIDs on that went through to get to that point. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. But listen, having the presser was the right call, both for Kay and then for Shire, just to kind of, because there's going to be a huge demand for, you know, response, quotes, questions, all that. So they did all that. The timing of it was, in the moment, it was surprising. I said this on CBS Sports HQ when it happened. The way it happened is not surprising. So I talked, I won't reveal which coach it was, but I talked to a coach that knows Krzyzewski well. This was, I think, 2 years ago in the summer of 2019, but it might have been in the summer of 2018. And we were sitting at the Peach Jam, and I just got to talking. I was like, when Krzyzewski retires, like, how do you think that's going to happen? Is he going to announce it, you know, in the middle of February? Do you think he'll do a John Wooden? And, like, because this is really for the older faction of your audience, but John Wooden, I'm almost positive, announced his retirement before his last Final Four game. Like, it was during the Final Four he announced that he would be retiring within literally a matter of days there. Would he do it that way? Would he do it right before a season? And this coach said, the way I think he's going to do it, even though he doesn't want to do it, is he will announce his retirement, and it will come after the season ends, but before the recruit, like before we're sitting at the Peach Jam. I think his coach's exact words were, whenever Mike Krzyzewski retires, I think it's going to be, we're going to be sitting at the Peach Jam, and we're going to know that his next season is going to be the last one because of the way that he both wants to recruit and how he wants to pick his successor. This coach clearly knew what he was talking about. I'm not saying that he had, you know, that Krzyzewski ever told him that this was the plan, because I don't think that was the case, but knowing the man, he absolutely nailed it. So, wow. I know I'm being a bit long-winded here, but that's just a way of saying that the way that this is playing out actually is not surprising me whatsoever, even though Kay has said, listen, this isn't about a farewell tour. I needed to do this for both recruiting and to be fair to the person that was going to take over. And Shire, one real quick thing on Shire. There's been a ton of like, man, he's got so much to do. There's so much ahead of him. It's not an enviable spot. Replacing Kay, all this pressure. Yeah, but he's taking the Duke job, and he's going to be 34 when he gets it.
Yeah,
like, it's actually the best situation possible because no one is going to expect him to be K. No one will expect him. I think, actually, frankly, no one's going to expect John Shire to take over Duke and have him win ACC regular season championships and all this stuff. Like, there will be an expectation to keep Duke good, top 25 level. Hmm. But if we're being honest about this, I don't think anyone is expecting a coach that young, even though he's been on the Hill, I've been on the bench for a decade at that point at that university. So he's got a lot of leeway. Kay was bad early as well. If anything, if he has some struggles there with Kay still being around that program, I think it's going to help him. So I don't want to hear this, like, I wouldn't want to be in John Shire's spot. No, I promise you, everyone except like seven coaches in college basketball would want to be in John Shire's spot, that meant following Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, yeah, to have your dream job, and you know what it can be because you've been there. You know what kind of money you make because you make a lot of money and you saw what Coach K made. Oh, no, to have your dream job at 34, that's okay. Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all. Matt Norlander with us. So Roy leaves, and now Coach K leaves, and there has been some gnashing of teeth. College basketball needs to be fixed, and what about the ACC? Are they going to take a major step back? And all of that. Is there any big picture NCAA or ACC stuff as some of the old guard now is obviously retiring, especially the big time voices like Roy Williams and Coach K?
I mean, look at the ACC right now. It's still like, well, first of all, I said this on our CBS podcast. I don't have Boeheim retiring before he's 80. So as much as I mentioned that Cal is going to be the one that steps into that spot, in a, Boeheim's just crankier and he doesn't that, but he will be like, within the coaching circle, like he will also certainly become that, but you'll have Boeheim. You've got Tony Bennett, who it's basically between him and Jay Wright and Mark Few as like who is the best coach in college basketball right now. So as long as Tony Bennett's coaching in that league at that school, you know, the ACC, I understand that you have two of the 10 best coaches of all time. Mike Krzyzewski, I think, is the very best men's basketball coach ever, and I think Roy Williams is easily in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's going to leave a void there. But although it's hard to envision this now, like, I just think we're going to look up in 5-6 years, and it's college basketball is pretty much going to be then what it is now and what it was 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's
yes, there
have
changes, but it's just the nature of things. Like, there's going to be coaches that rack up 400, 500, 600 wins and win national championships, and those coaches will become stars and prominent and all that stuff. So I'm really not that concerned about the health of college basketball or the ACC. Like, it's still going to be there. Still gonna watch.
Yeah, we just in college basketball, and I would say even some college football coaches, Saban, Belichick, they get that. But you know, the young hotshot can get it in the NFL. Urban Meyer left Ohio State. In comes Day. It's fine. No gnashing of teeth. The Pete Carroll and Urban Meyer aren't there. I mean, Steve Spurrier. I'm totally with you. I mean, I am. I'm 100% with you on that. I don't know why this conversation had to start. Do you think the last one for Matt Norlander, and you can be brief here, do you think schools will get him gifts like we did Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant? Do you think Louisville will get him some Pappy or like a Louisville Slugger bat?
I do think this is going to be a thing, and I very much look forward to what I need to have happen, though. I need this. I need a school to just completely misfire and the gift to be just completely weird, totally bizarre, perhaps slightly inappropriate. I need at least one coach, athletic director, president combination. I need someone just to completely whiff. I need something awkward presented to Mike Krzyzewski before the game. He clearly doesn't want it. It makes for a super funny viral video moment. I can't have like this simple stuff like, yes, Yeah. I think he's going to be gifted with things, and I need one of them to be absolutely atrocious. It's the only thing I'm asking for. Someone needs to gift this man something that he's going to throw into the trash as he is exiting the venue after a win or a loss and getting onto the team bus. That's all I'm asking.
I want it to be Josh Pastner, but I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly.
That's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely, you're damn right. Matt, thank you so much for the time. Have a very good weekend. Enjoy the work. Enjoy the column up there at CBS Sports. And we'll catch up down the road. Have a good summer. Thank you so much.
You too.
All right, thank you. Matt Norlander with us here from CBS Sports. Good stuff as always. He's always a fun guy to catch up with. Oh, Matt Norlander on a Friday.
Hell yeah, it was a good interview. And I told Louisville fans, y'all get ready to bend the knee. It's going to be a big to-do, and you better hope Chris Mack gives him a good gift. You better hope. But, yeah, they're all that young center is going to be, Coach K, we love you.
I don't agree with you on this.
I do.
I think some people will, but I don't agree with you on this.
Okay, that's fine.
The
good thing is it's tangible.
It's not going to be a bunch of boos, but I'm saying some people will do what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying others won't. There might be a couple mean and nasty. There'll be some I think it's going to be lukewarm. Does that matter? It's going to be in the middle. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be bad. It's just going to be in the middle.
ACC is going to get. The ACC is going to push this Coach K farewell tour like you've never seen. That's their guy. He's ACC basketball. They're going to push this to the limit. ESPN, all of it. Oh, you think it's going to be worse than I think you think it's going to be.
Okay.
I really do. This is Coach K we're talking about.
I'm ready for it. Yeah. I want to embrace it just because you guys are going to moan and complain
about everything.
Oh, it's
going to be all moaning and complaining, yeah.
We need to get – we're at the top of the hour. We're not going to take a break. Let's get a legal ID and hit the open. Let's get it going. One more hour to go here on this Friday.